One of the most amazing characteristics of God is the way in which, throughout time, God always intervenes in the lives of human beings. There are some circles that believe God created the earth and then he left it to evolve on its own and he doesn't really intervene. But we know that's not true. If you've ever had any dealings at all with God, you know that he is a very real living God who desires to be part of our lives, desires for us to be in a right relationship with him, and intervenes in our lives so that we might have that relationship. It's evident in the way that he came onto the world seen in the flesh as Jesus of Nazareth to intervene for the sake of the whole world. But we ask the question, why? Why would God do such a thing? Why did Jesus come? Why did he come to a sin-sick world like we live in today? We find that he was clearly on a mission. It's just a few months before his death, Jesus was traveling and he was teaching and he entered the city of Jericho, and he met this man named Zacchaeus. And through his teaching with Zacchaeus, and through his actions towards Zacchaeus, we find it clear that his mission is to seek and save what was lost. Now, if any of you have ever been lost geographically, you know what a scary feeling it is, especially if you've been lost maybe in a city somewhere. To some people, being lost in the country is even scarier. It seemed that every time I would go to visit someone down at Presbyterian Hospital in the Oakland section of Pittsburgh, I'd get lost every single time. I just could not find my way in and around there. If you've ever been there, you know what a confusing place it is there in that part of Pittsburgh. And one time I missed the street to turn up into the hospital and found myself down at Heinz Field, which is the Steelers football stadium down along the river, miles away from where I wanted to be, believe it or not. And I just sat there in the parking lot saying, I just wish someone could just come in with a big helicopter, pick my car up, and take me and set me where I wanted to be or where I needed to be. And maybe you felt that way before, whether it's being lost geographically or spiritually. But this isn't the lost that Jesus was talking about in Luke chapter 19 here. He wasn't talking about being lost geographically. He was talking about being lost spiritually. Jesus was talking about his mission, not only to find, but save what was misplaced, namely people, more specifically, you and I. It tells us in our text today, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through, and a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was wealthy, and he wanted to see who Jesus was. But because he was short, he could not, so he went on ahead, he climbed a sycamore fig tree to see Jesus, since Jesus was coming that way. Now Jericho was a city of priests, and it had been rebuilt after Joshua had come in, and they blew the horns, and Jericho fell down. It had been rebuilt. And it was now a city of priests. But here was Jesus coming through on his travels. He's actually on his way to Jerusalem, believe it or not, to be crucified. And he meets up with this tax collector, Zacchaeus. Okay, and Zacchaeus was an Israelite. He was the chief tax collector, so all the other little tax collectors reported to him and brought their money to him. But tax collectors were hated by the people because the system there of collecting taxes was open to abuse. And what would happen, the tax collectors would fall victim to the temptation to gouge the people, and they were allowed to keep anything extra that they took in. So they did. They gouged the people, they charged them more than they were supposed to, and they became wealthy and rich themselves, and they were hated by the people because they were serving a foreign country, a foreign government, and taking advantage of their own people. Zacchaeus just simply wanted to see who Jesus was. Zacchaeus was inquiring or searching out, and he wanted to see for himself. And his effort paid off. It paid off eternally, in fact. Jesus reached the spot, he looked up, and he said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly.
We see Zacchaeus makes an effort in verse 4 to see Jesus. He went ahead and he climbed the tree. We see that Jesus recognized this effort in verse 5. Jesus reached the spot and he said, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your home today." He knew that Zacchaeus was so desiring to see Jesus that he went to this trouble to climb a tree to see him. And Zacchaeus' life was touched. Because why would this Jesus want to come to his house? He was considered a sinner and a lowlife by society because of how he treated other people according to their taxes. Why would Jesus want to come to his house? And as a result, Zacchaeus was transformed. Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." We see the effort made by Zacchaeus. We see the effort recognized by Jesus. We see Zacchaeus' life touched, and he welcomed Jesus gladly. And we see his life transformed to the point that he looked at life differently now and gave up his worldly treasure, trusting that he would be provided for in the future. Zacchaeus had a completely different outlook on life because his life was transformed by Jesus. Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house." Jesus proclaimed salvation. How? Because this man too is a son of Abraham. What does that mean? Well, being a son of Abraham would have meant that Jesus was recognizing his faith, that he was part of the community of faith, willing to give up what was dear to him. If we remember the story of Abraham, Abraham was ready to sacrifice his son Isaac. He was so willing to obey the Lord that he even had the knife in the air, ready to slay his son. But God provided an angel to stop him and provided the sacrifice. And it tells us in Romans and other places that Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And here he's saying to Zacchaeus, this man too is a son of Abraham. By faith he trusted enough to give up what was dear to him, just like Abraham. John says, speaking of the word, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Zacchaeus' life was transformed enough to give up what was near and dear to him in this life. Zacchaeus received salvation because he received Jesus in and gave up his worldly possessions and made right what was wrong in his life because his life was transformed and he was no longer the same man. Zacchaeus was wealthy and wise, but he chose to give it all up. And we see a covetous tax collector transformed into a liberated Christian. I don't need this worldly stuff anymore. I don't need this. This stuff doesn't matter anymore. I've met Jesus. But it tells us the people saw this and they started to mutter, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner," speaking of Jesus. "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." And Jesus responds to their criticism by saying, "The Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost," implying that Zacchaeus had been lost, but now was found. John 3:17 tells us that God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And if he's going to save the world, he has to come to the world in the first place. And when he comes, as he did in Bethlehem, he comes looking for the lost. Now, the word lost here does not mean the damned or the doomed. You have to understand that. It means something that's in the wrong place. And something is lost when it's not in the right place, or that it's been misplaced. And when we look at our lives and our relationship with God, how many of us can honestly say we are in the right place in our relationship with God? Technically, that's called righteous, being righteous in a right relationship with God. How many of us can honestly say that we are in that place of righteousness with God? But you see, he said the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost, came to look for and save what was misplaced. or is in the wrong place. The Bible refers to sin as darkness. And it also says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And because we're sinners, we are unrighteous. And you see, the glory of God is light. But John says men love the darkness rather than light, and that we've all fallen from the light into the darkness because of our sin. John also says, if we say that we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves. The truth's not in us. In other words, we're liars. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. And his word is not in us, because his word says that we're all sinners. And it's in the darkness of sin that we lose our way and are no longer in the right place. And that then we're declared by Christ to be lost, because we've lost our way. We need a Savior, like I did in Pittsburgh. Someone to come and pick us up and put us in the right place. Can any person, honestly, any human being, right the wrong of sinfulness? Can anyone save themselves and put themselves into a right relationship with God, at that relationship of righteousness? It's impossible. That's why, as John says in John 1, the life that was the light of men came into the world to shine light into our darkness and chase it away. That's why he came, to chase that darkness of sin away, to reach down and pick us up and say, there you are, I found you, to look for and make the lost found, to put what's in the wrong place back again into the right place of righteousness, the way it was intended when God created the world. Jesus' focus is the lost, and his goal is to seek and save. The very name of Jesus, Jesus, is of Hebrew origin. Yehoshua. Yehoshua from two Hebrew words, Jehovah and Yasha. But it literally means Jehovah saved. The name Jesus. Jehovah saved. And in Jesus, Jehovah God saved those who are lost. The human race needs a Savior. We need to be found because we are not in the right place. We are out of place in our sin, and someone needs to put us in place. And sadly, many in the world are in the wrong place at the wrong time when they die and are still lost, never knowing the Savior, because they were unwilling to look at Jesus to see who he was, like Zacchaeus did. They turned away, never chose to come and look. Other religions say, well, you can do it. It's up to you. You have the power to save yourself. And they can tell you how, but ultimately it's up to you. And I don't know about you folks, but I can't do it. I go so far, and then I say, I just can't do it. And you can spend your whole life being a good person. But what's the standard that you're using to think that you're a good person, to think that you're righteous, that things will be all right when you stand before God? What's the standard? Is it a book that's made it to the New York Times bestseller list? Is that going to be your standard? It's not going to be God's. That's why he sent Jesus, to be a standard, to show us the right way. And when we reject Jesus and embrace the world's standards, when we embrace the world's path to heaven, we actually reject God's path to heaven. We reject the very reason Jesus came to save us. And it's going on every single day. Everybody's pushing a book. Everybody's written a book. Everybody's selling their ideas. And they're selling millions of copies because it feels good for the moment. But there's going to come a day when we're going to stand before God. And you know the standard God's going to use? Read about it in Revelation. We are going to be judged by the Word of God. Not by
a paperback book. The Bible tells us that there's salvation in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved, given by God. There's no other name, there's no other thing under heaven, on earth, that has been given by which we can be saved. In fact, God's messenger not only told Mary who Jesus was, the Son of God and the Son of the Most High, but he also told Joseph what Jesus would do, and that saved his people from their sins. If we adopt any other philosophy or accept any other way, we're rejecting the very reason that Jesus came. We're rejecting the very gift that God's given us in Jesus. We're rejecting the purpose for which Jesus came in the first place. Why did he come? He was on a rescue mission, a mission of mercy. It wasn't for his own benefit, it was for our benefit. After all, he gave up the glory of heaven. And yet, he receives the glory and heaven rejoices over every saved soul. Rescuers always push forward willing to pay the price. And in the rubble of our world today, devastated by sin, the light of a rescuer shines through the darkness to give life to a misplaced, lost world and to those that are trapped in the rubble. And his name is Jesus. Sometimes I wonder, as I read over this week and pondered all this, I wonder who's really in the wrong place, Jesus or us. I mean, after all, he's so divine, he's so righteous, he doesn't belong among sinners. But he did come, he came here on purpose, on a mission, and he's looking for us. The question is, has he found you? Has he found you? Has he looked up and seen you there looking for him and said, ah, there you are? Has he found you? Maybe you don't want to be found. And there are people in this world that don't want to be found. They feel they don't need to be found. There's nothing wrong. They're not lost. Maybe you like your life. Maybe you like your job, your family. Things are going great and you don't feel that you're lost at all. Well, Zacchaeus didn't feel lost either. He had a good job. He was wealthy. But an encounter with Jesus Christ changed everything, including the way he saw life. He once was lost, but now he's found. He once was blind, but now he sees clearly. All because of mercy. And Jesus is still on that mission. He's never walked away from it. He's never left it. He's still on that mission. It's not over till the trumpet sounds. And I don't know whether the trumpet blower is going to be the fat lady or not, but it's not over till the trumpet sounds. You still have time right now. If you don't know him, or you have not accepted Christ as your Savior, do it now. He's looking for you. I think of Harry Drick, folks. Just like that, it was over. And had he not known the Lord, there is no other chance. Jesus told the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus was the beggar that died. The rich man died. The rich man went to be in Hades or in hell. And in agony, he was in the flames forever. Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom to be with Abraham. And as the rich man begged, just give me some water to cool my tongue, to cool this burning that I'm having to endure for eternity. Just give me something to cool me off. Abraham says, there's no turning back. There's a big chasm, and it cannot be overcome. What's done is done. There is no turning back. You still have time right now if you don't know him or have accepted him as your Savior. Do it now. I want to ask you this morning, as we're singing the closing hymn, if you have not done this, you must do it. It is urgent. It is the best thing you will ever do in your life. Come forward if you can. We'll pray together. Don't be embarrassed. It's not something to be embarrassed about. It's a matter of life or death. Jesus came looking for you, seeking to save you. And heaven rejoices over every saved soul.
Don't wait. Time's short. Don't be lost forever. I invite you to come this morning as we sing the closing hymn. We'll pray together to receive Christ as your Savior. Let's stand together and sing number 88, Maker in Whom We Live.